Go ahead and open to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. We'll be studying that passage this morning, Matthew 28, verse 19 and verse number 20. And we're going to continue the series that we started 2 weeks ago on Called Out and what is the church. And really, we've been focusing on the meaning of the word, the church, and the people of the church, the plan of the church. And this morning, we're going to talk about the purpose of the church. So I hope this series has been something of a help to you, and hopefully it's something that we've all grown in our understanding of the church and who we are. Because, you know, until you know who you are, you're not really going to know what to do. And knowing who you are, having your identity correct of who you are in Christ will lead you into the way in which what God wants for you to do with your life. And so I think it's a very important series, and hopefully it's something that's been a help to you throughout these last 2 weeks. So Matthew chapter number 28, and we're going to look at verse number 19. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 19. You'll see that, by the way, before I read, if you have not received the notes and you need the notes, just raise your hand and the ushers will get you some notes, and that way you can follow along as we study God's Word together. And I think it's always important. They say that you retain more and you learn faster and you retain more if you not only hear what is being said, but then if you write it down, if you see it on a PowerPoint, I think the numbers are like, you remember, like 85% or something like that of what you hear, write, and see. And so I think it's important for us to just have some notes and be able to learn that way as you study God's Word this morning. So Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 19, it says this way, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." This morning, what we want to talk about is the purpose of the church. We talked about the plan of the church, if you'll recall, if you were here 2 weeks ago, you'll remember we started with the plan of the church. What does the word church even mean? And it means called out, and that's why the series is called Called Out, all right? It's because a called out people, called out assembly is what the actual word church means. And we learned in that first week that Christ is the chief cornerstone and the foundation of the church. The church is built upon Him. And because of that, because He had victory, He gives us victory in the struggle that the church has, the spiritual warfare that it has against the devil and his demons. We have victory, we will prevail, because Christ is our foundation, because Christ is that cornerstone of our life and of the reason we are a church. But then we also learned about the people of the church. We learned that the people of the church are a regenerate people, a renewed people, and a responsive people. And I didn't get to make this highlight last week, so I'm going ahead and make it now. That's the nice thing about series. You can kind of repeat a little bit of what you forgot to say in the previous message. But I do want to say, in Acts chapter 2, in verse number 41, down to verse number 47, you'll see all three characteristics of those people of the church. They were the first really church that was growing, and you'll notice that they were born again, they were saved, you'll notice that they were renewed, they began to look at one another differently, they began to love one another and edify one another, and then suddenly you see them responding to the needs that each had. In fact, the church, the Bible says there that many of them sold everything they had and began to give to those that were in need that were there as part of the church. And that's what the people of the church do. We're responsive to what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. And sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us to give to someone else. Sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us to sell something we have and give it to the church, or give what God has blessed us with and give it to someone in need in the church. And that's just part of what being a people of the church is. But this morning, we want to answer the question, what is the purpose of the church? And in Matthew chapter 28, in these two verses, verse 19 and verse number 20, Jesus gives us what the purpose of the church is. And as we dissect that this morning, as we study this passage, I intend and I hope that we will be able to see that the purpose of the church is a very important purpose. It's a very unique purpose. In fact, it's a purpose that only the church can fulfill. If you just think about this, I mean, why did Jesus leave the church? Why is it that once we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, why do we still have to battle in a spiritual warfare? Why is it that we have to wait to be changed in our bodies and in our minds? And how come we're not taken to heaven right away? Why do we have to wait for that? And the reason is because of the purpose of why God established the church. You see, there's a reason why we have church. Sometimes people think, well, we have church, and they have this idea of church, and they say, well, I think that we have church because it's a time in which we can come and praise God and sing to Him. And though that is a practice of the church, and we're going to be learning about that next week, and the problem is when we start thinking that that's the purpose of the church, we begin to lose really what the uniqueness of the church is all about and why God established and left us this church. Though there are some things that people might answer to the question of what the purpose of the church is, many times, if we're not careful, we actually get away from what the real purpose of church is, and we begin to add things that really are not the purpose of the church. It's things that we do in the church, and there's a reason for them, right? Someone might say, well, I think the church is here to help the those that are in need, those that are economically or socially in need, and so the church is there for that. And though the church does that, you know that that's not the purpose of the church. And so this morning, we're going to answer this question, what is the purpose of the church? Because I feel like so many times we can come to church Sunday after Sunday and Sunday after Sunday, forget what the real purpose of the church is. Or sometimes we can come Sunday after Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, and never even know what the purpose of the church is. It kind of reminds me of a cartoon that I read about Calvin and Hobbes. I don't know how many in here are fans of Calvin and Hobbes, but I decided to go ahead and put it up, and it's a real funny one. Calvin's there asking his dad, they're at an ATM, and he asks his dad, how do bank machines work? And the dad says, well, let's say you want $25, you punch in the amount, and behind the machine, there's a guy with a printing press who makes the money and sticks it out this little slot. And then Calvin says, oh, sort of like the guy who lives up in our garage and opens the door? He said, yeah, exactly. I don't know if you've ever been in that position like Calvin's dad where you go, I have no idea. You're asking me this question. You're just going to make up an answer. And sometimes if we're not careful, people might ask, well, what is the purpose of the church? And you might give an answer. It just might not be the right answer. Or it may not be the purpose at all. But there's an importance in knowing what the purpose of the church is. Because if you don't know what the purpose of the church is, then how can you know if you're moving forward as a church? How do we know that we're really pleasing God and doing what God wants? The purpose of the church. So this morning we're going to dissect this passage of Matthew 28 and find what is the purpose that Jesus left the church. But before we do that, why don't we pray and ask God to give us His Spirit and fill us with His Spirit to understand and apply this message. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning allowing us to be in your house. I thank you, Father, that there is a purpose for the church. And I pray that as we study this passage this morning, I ask that you would, by your Spirit, fill our minds. I pray that any distractions that we might have would be taken out of our minds for the moment and allow us in the next few minutes to be able to focus on what is the purpose for why we are even here this morning? And what is the purpose for why you established this thing that we call church? Oh, Father, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit as I share this message. I pray that I would be able to communicate with clarity. But then, Father, more importantly, I pray that your Holy Spirit would prepare our hearts and our minds to receive your word and then to apply it into our lives. And so work this morning in our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the first purpose of the church that we find here in this passage of Matthew chapter 28 is the purpose to reach others. The purpose of the church, Jesus says, is to go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, we do this. We give the gospel message, and it starts with, first of all, obeying his command. Obeying his command. You see, the sentence, go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. This sentence of go ye therefore and teach all nations, if you're familiar with grammar, there is a sentence that is an imperative sentence. Now, you know that an imperative sentence, if you can remember grammar from grammar school, you'll know that an imperative sentence is a sentence, a thought that gives a command or a direction, right? It's not just stating something. It's not just declaring something like the screen is yellow. That's just a declarative statement. But an imperative statement is one that gives a command. As parents, we use a lot of imperative statements, right? Like, put that down, go to your room, turn off the TV. These are all imperative statements, right? They're commands, and you give those to your children so that they can follow and obey what you've asked them to do. That's the statement that Jesus is making here to the church. He is saying, go ye therefore. It's an imperative. It is a command. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. It's not a suggestion. It's not an idea that's just to be heard and say, okay, well, now let's vote on what he said. Should we do that? Should we not? What do you think about the idea that Jesus just gave? No, it is a command. He tells his disciples, go ye therefore. Now, what's really interesting is there in the sentence, the imperative is not go. Now, in our English sentence, we would dissect it by saying, yes, this is the imperative to actually go. But in the Greek here, that's actually a participle. And literally what it's meaning and what it's saying is going, therefore. Jesus saying, going, as you're going, as you're living your life, as you're following the Spirit's leading in your life, as you're going, then comes the imperative, teach all nations. Now, that's the imperative. That is saying, as you're going, you got to do something. And it's something that you're doing not just once. You see, if the imperative was go, then it was something that if you just do one time, you're okay, because you've obeyed the imperative. But the emphasis here that Jesus is making isn't just on the go, right? He's saying going, as you are going, as you are living, as you're doing what God has called you to do, teach all nations. That's where the imperative is. In Mark 16, 15, it says go. In Acts 1, verse number 8, he says that you're going to be witnesses. That's the imperative as you're going. But here's the command. The command is teach all nations. Now, that word, or that phrase, I should say, teach all nations, literally can be translated to make disciples. So the command is that as we're going in life, we need to be making disciples. Now, what does it mean to make a disciple? Well, a disciple is someone that follows someone's teaching and believes what they're doing. It follows their example. You hear what is being taught, you learn what is being taught, and you go and follow what is being taught. Now you're a disciple. That's why Islam has disciples of Muhammad. That's why Buddha has disciples of his teachings. They believe in their teachings, and they follow and pattern their life after those teachings. Well, Jesus also had teachings. And the disciples of Jesus are those that believe Jesus' teachings. And you say, well, what did Jesus teach? Well, the first thing he said is, I am the light of the world. Look in your notes in John chapter 8, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. So Jesus said in his teaching, this is who I am. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said, I am that light. Jesus also said in John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus claims to be the light. There's no darkness in him. If you come to him, there's life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, the way to the Father. I'm life in the Father. I'm the way, and I'm the truth of who the Father is. He said, that's who I am. Notice what he said in John chapter 10. He said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So Jesus claims to be the Son of God, the one that came to this earth to lay down his life and die on a cross. Why? For your sin and my sin. We learned about this last week, that you and I might be justified, that we might be made righteous, that we can become the people of the church. So a disciple is someone that believes that Jesus is the way, someone that believes that Jesus is the light, someone that believes that no man can come to God the Father but through Jesus Christ alone, not through a church, not through good works, not through grandma and grandpa, not through the traditions of men, but only through the paid sacrifice and by faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says it is the grace of God. It is the gift that God gives to anyone that puts their faith in Jesus Christ, who believes what he taught and lives after it. That is being a disciple. So what is the command essentially? The command is this: we need to go as we're going in life and share with people how they can become a disciple of Christ. In other words, to make it real simple, share the gospel. Share with them how they can have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of why we're here. You see, when you forget that purpose, you might begin to think, well, I'm here to sit in a pew and listen. I'm here to stand and to sing. Now, that's part of the practice of the church. That's something that we do in our church services. But that's not the purpose of the church. You see, the purpose of the church is to reach others with the good news of Jesus Christ. It's to let them know that even though they are born in sin and on their way to hell, there is one that died for them. There is one righteous that is here to justify them and make them righteous. And that's what we share with people. And that's not a suggestion. That's not something that, well, if you feel like it, do it, and if you don't, no worries. That's not something that we can say, well, God, I guess you're in charge of that. Good luck. There's a form of theology and a teaching in theology that some have called Calvinism. And basically, it's this idea that, well, God, since he knows all things, and since he is the one that has created us and knows all things, then he chooses who's going to come to him as a savior. But you know, when you follow and study the scriptures, you find that's not exactly what that means. You see, because the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no thinking of, well, God, good luck in saving people. No, see, God said, I already died for the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 1 there talks about he has died for the sins of the whole world. But now it's a decision that each person must make. And that's a message that if you've made that decision, that we are commanded to share with others. That's the purpose of the church. So in other words, if you're a member of this church and you're going in life and you're going to work tomorrow, or you're going to school tomorrow, or you're taking classes online, or you're doing whatever, interacting with people, going to the grocery store, listen, if you're not making disciples, you're not living a right purpose as a church. If we're not sharing the gospel with others, listen, we're not reaching the purpose. You say, but I'm coming faithfully. That's great, but that's not the purpose. The command is to go and make disciples. Teach all nations. Share with them the good news of the gospel to reach others. But then I want you to notice, it's also not just obeying the command, but obeying the order to follow. You see, it's very important to observe this. After they came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, when people make the decision and you share with them the good news and they repent of their sin and they ask Jesus to be their Savior, then there's a step of obedience that is to be taken after. Notice the order here. He says, teach all nations, and then it says, baptizing them In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's an order to do this as we reach the purpose. You don't just go in any order. There were some that would teach, and their doctrine would teach, and it's a wrong doctrine, a false doctrine, that, well, first you baptize, and then you get saved through the baptism. But notice the order here. You have to believe, then you get baptized. That's why in our church, and any Bible-believing church, doesn't baptize children. So why can't we baptize children? Because they have not made a decision for Christ. They're going out of order. And what happens in the teaching is, well, if you get baptized, then you're part of the church, and suddenly they become part of a church, but they've never been regenerated. They've never been renewed. And they can't be responsive to the Holy Spirit because they're dead spiritually. That's why the order is so important. First, you make disciples. First, they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You make a decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Then you baptize. Now, what does baptism do? Oh, baptism makes me saved. No, it doesn't. You see, all that baptism does is it identifies those who are disciples. And that's why through baptism, you become a member here at Bethany Baptist Church. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and you make that decision, you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the next step that you take is getting baptized. And that makes you part of the church. It makes you a member of the church. Why? Because now we can identify that you have made that decision, that you've become a disciple of Jesus Christ. One of the best illustrations I've ever heard is a wedding ring. A wedding ring doesn't make anyone married. If I take it off, guess what? I'm still married. You see, there's a document in the courthouse that says on June 14th of 2008, I was married to Rochelle Pasqua. And the reason on the wedding day that I put a ring on wasn't to make me married. It was just to show others I'm married. It was to tell whoever sees me, whether they're in Walmart or at the store or at the mall or at work or at school, hey, that guy's married. We can identify him as a married man. That's what baptism does. And so the order here that we find is, first we make disciples. That's our purpose, to reach others. And in making disciples, we're also going to follow the order, and that is baptizing them. That is the next step of obedience. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 36, it's there in your notes. I won't read the whole passage, but you can read it. There is a eunuch there that saw some water after talking with Philip, and Philip was explaining to him what the Bible teaches, and he said, look, there's some water. What is stopping me from being baptized? And Philip said, well, first you got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you got to become a disciple. In other words, you got to get saved. And the eunuch said, I believe, he confessed, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, and immediately the chariot stopped, they went down, and he got baptized. See, there's an order to following the purpose of the church. It starts with following his command to make disciples, and then following the order of getting baptized. And you know, following the order is so important. It really is. Some of you are students, you're in high school, you're starting to take algebra. And did you know that with algebra, they teach you a little system when you're solving problems? And it's called PEMDAS. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. PEMDAS, is that the way they pronounce it? It's been a while since I've been in school, all right? But basically, that's an acronym that stands for parentheses, whatever that word is, exponentiation, I have no idea. Multiplication, division, addition, subtraction. I should have really, really practiced that word before I said it, right? But that is the order you have to follow if you're going to solve the problem correctly, if you're going to get the correct answer. And the illustration that was given when I saw this was this, 4 plus 5x. Now, those that know algebra know that you're looking for the x, and if you're going to get the answer correct, right, you're going to have to multiply. If you put whatever number x would stand for, let's say 5, you'd say 5 times 5 is 25 plus 4 is 29. Would you agree if x is 5, then the answer should be 29? But if you don't use this system of PEMDAS, whatever it is, If you don't use that order of systems to solve the problem, you can get way off. You can get the answer of 4 plus 5x equals 9x. That's going to be way off. If you use it that way, then you're going to have 9 times 5, 45. I mean, that's 16 more than the answer should be. That's why it's so important. When we start fulfilling the purpose of the church, we can't get out of order. There are many churches today that are getting out of the order of what God has established. We're saying, well, listen, as long as you come to church, then you should be able to serve in church. Wrong. You see, you need to be a part of the church. How can you serve a master that's not your master? See, there's things that are getting out of order. And we're saying, well, they have the name church on the top of their building, and that's great. But are they really fulfilling the purpose of the church? Because when you don't fulfill the purpose of the church in the order that Christ left it to be followed, there's only confusion and chaos. And if you look at the church today as a whole, I'm not just talking about our church, I'm talking about church as a whole in America, you'll find there's a lot of confusion. And you wonder, how did we get to this point? I'll tell you, we got out of order. We forgot the purpose of why we exist as a church. So we find that, first of all, we exist to reach others. How do we do that? By following his command, by obeying his order. But there's another purpose that we have that this passage teaches. Not only are we to reach others, but we're to teach others. Notice that it says in verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The church is responsible to teach others, to grow them in their faith. And it's interesting, we're not to teach our own experiences. In other words, you're not to teach a Christianity that says, well, I think it should be this way. We're living in a time where society is accepting this idea, there is no absolutes. John brought a great series last month on what is truth, and can we identify truth? Can we even know what truth is? Because we live in a society that says, well, truth is whatever you want it to be. And of course, that leads to confusion and to chaos. I mean, can you imagine if everyone thought, well, I think red should be go, and just started taking red lights as they're driving? That'd be a lot of car accidents. And though we can understand that in the physical world, listen, in the spiritual world, in many churches today, there's people just running red lights like crazy. And that's why the purpose of the church is, hey, we need to teach others, not our own ideas, not our own experiences, not what we think should be what it should be. But look what it says in verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Notice the source of the content that Jesus says we're supposed to be teaching. We're supposed to be teaching what he has commanded. Now listen, when our experience lines up with what he is teaching, then that needs to be shared. Okay? So in other words, when you had a salvation experience, right? You had a time in which you understood you were a sinner and you needed a Savior and you got saved. That's something you need to share because it lines up with what his word teaches. But only what his word teaches. You see, when it comes to what I think and what God and what God's word says, listen, choose God's word every time. Don't choose what you think. Well, I just don't think that is fair. It's not about what you think is fair. It's about what did God's word say. You look in the Old Testament, there are things that I wonder, I wonder why God did it that way. In the Old Testament, the priesthood could not be women. There's no women priests. Sometimes you think, well, why did God do that? How come, women couldn't even go into the temple? They had a court for them that they could go to, but they were not to go in. And you think, why did God do that? Well, I just don't think it's fair. I think that God just prefers this over that. And listen, it's not about what we think. It's just what the Bible teaches. Listen, side with God and you'll never go wrong. And one of the purposes of the church is to teach that. It's to teach what the Bible says. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about relationships. It has a lot to say about attitudes. Brother John, in the first service, in the Spanish service, had a great message on anxiety. The Bible has something to say about that. It has something to say about actions. It has something to say about our motives. It has something to say about how we should think and evaluate situations and circumstances, how we should see the world. It has a lot to say about how we spend our time, what we should spend our money on. The Bible has a lot to say about those things. And listen, what the purpose of the church is to teach people. That's what God says about it. Not what you think about it, but what God says about it. There's nothing more important to share or to speak of than God's word. And that's our charge. You know, that word command is a charge I'm giving you. Jesus said, this is a charge I'm giving you. This is the purpose that you exist to teach others, to reach others, to teach others. And teach them my word, whatsoever I have commanded you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful. The word quick there means alive. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, sharp, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the word of God is. And that's why it's so important. We need to teach the word of God. Now, before you say, oh, that's the job of the church, so that's the job of the pastor. No, you say, we are the people of the church. I'm not just the only person of the church. My responsibility and my role and the calling that God has given me is to come and preach in the pulpit, yes. But you're just the church just as much as I am. You say, what does that mean? Well, that means that you also are to be teaching others. Those others include your household. Your children should know this is what God's word says. Your spouse should know this is what God's word says. Those that you work with should know this is what God's word says. Why? Because we have the purpose to teach others. This is what the word of God tells us, commands us to do. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse number 2 and verse number 3, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So we should long for that pure milk, the sincere milk of the word. That word pure means undiluted. That word sincere in the KJV means undiluted. You're not to mix it with other things. I heard a great illustration about that of apples. You know, apples are a pretty healthy fruit. If you want something healthy, snack on most like diet programs, say if you want a snack and you want something good, you can eat apples. But you know, if you go like to the county fair, they'll have apples, but have you ever seen those apples that are dipped in, you know, like cinnamon or covered in sugar or those candy apples that are just delicious and I wish they were healthier than they are? But you know, you could get something healthy, like an apple, but you start adding all of this sugar, and it's suddenly something that's really healthy becomes very unhealthy. Something that should be good for you suddenly becomes something bad for you. Do you know that when we begin to teach others and we begin to mix our own ideas with what God's word says, it makes something that should be really good, which is God's word, become really bad because now it's our word and not his word. And that's why Peter said, listen, you ought to long for, desire that pure, that undiluted, the unmixed word of God. But not only do we see that we are to teach others the word of God, whatsoever he has commanded, but notice in teaching others, we have a companion. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You see, all of the purpose of the church, and this is important, I'm going to say it twice, all of the purpose of the church, which is to reach others and teach others, all the purpose of the church cannot be completed on our own. It's not by our self-will, our determination. Listen, it's not going to happen because we have a really good marketing strategy. Oh, it's because, listen, you got to know how to use Facebook or Instagram. You got to really know how to use social media if you're going to grow as a church. Listen, I'm glad for social media. I'm glad that there's social media out there and there's some good uses to it. But let me just tell you, the church isn't going to grow because we have a great marketing program. I don't care how great your marketing program is. A church doesn't grow because of marketing programs. The church grows when it is Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. That's why Jesus said, "And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age." Because he said, listen, what I'm telling you to do to reach others and teach others, you can't do it on your own. You need me to do it. That's why Jesus told the disciples, without me, you can't do anything. You think you can, but you can't. Without me, you can do nothing. And so at the end of this, sharing the purpose of the church, he said, I'm with you. And by the way, he's not saying as, I'm here to just support you. I'm here to cheer you on. No. He's saying, I'm here to help you get it done. And without me, you ain't going to get it done. I am with you. That's why he says, look in your notes, John chapter 16, verse number 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. John 14, Jesus continues. He says, these things have I spoken in you, being present with you. But the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And by the way, you can't teach what you don't know. Right? You can't give what you don't have. You can't teach what you don't know. So if we're going to teach others and fulfill the purpose of the church, then we need to be growing and learning by having the Holy Spirit teach us. That's what Jesus said. So in teaching others, if we're going to fulfill this purpose, listen, we need to be able to do this. We need to be able to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. It's kind of like a boxcar on a train. You know, a boxcar has no engine on it. There's nothing that makes that boxcar move on its own. But if you take that boxcar that can't move, you can just put it on tracks and it'll never move anywhere. You can take that same boxcar and if you attach it to an engine, that engine will begin to move and that boxcar will be able to go everywhere that engine goes. It'll be able to do something it's not able to do on its own. It'll do more than it could ever do on its own. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us in reaching the purpose of the church. If we're going to reach others and teach others, we need to hitch our life to the Holy Spirit and allow him to go. Allow him to pull us where we need to go. And he'll never get you off track. He'll always stay on track in life. He'll always remind you this is the purpose for why you are here. So this morning, the purpose of the church, it's pretty clear. In fact, it's pretty simple. But how many know some of the most simple things in life are also the most difficult things in life? Right? I mean, it's simple to say, hey, we ought to forgive one another. But actually forgiving is harder. It's easy to say, we need to be loving one another. But actually loving one another is a little more difficult. Yeah, the purpose of the church is pretty simple. To reach others. To teach others. Oh man, that sounds so simple, but listen, you can't do it on your own. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So let me just ask you a couple questions before we end here. Number one, how are you doing in the area of the purpose of reaching others? How are we doing in this area of making new disciples? Of sharing the gospel with someone? I mean, knowing that that's what it means to make disciples, let me ask you something. Did you reach your purpose last week? Is there at least one person? One of the most amazing things happened to me yesterday that just kind of reminded me of this. We just moved out of our house there in McAllen and moved here in Mission. And as we were moving stuff yesterday and Ruben was helping me and Jose Lopez were helping me and they were huge, huge help moving all of the stuff into the house. While we were there, we heard a knock, I don't know, maybe around 3:30 in the afternoon. And we were going back to the U-Haul to get stuff. And as we were doing that, the people knocked on the door. And went, oh, okay, there's somebody here. Who even knows we're here? And I opened the door, and it was my neighbor, the new neighbor. And he said, hey, and he had a nothing bundt cakes. And he said, I just want to welcome you to the neighborhood. He told me his name and kind of shared. He was a TCU grad, so I kind of like him already. I don't know how much, though. He's not a Longhorn. No, it was just really nice of them to do that. And it was funny because Jose that was with me there at the time when they knocked, he said, man, I thought that only happened in movies. I said, so did I. I mean, who does that? It's amazing. But you know, it got me thinking. I thought, I wonder how many times I've gone to somebody else's door right next to me and said, just want to welcome you. You see, that's the purpose of the church, is to go and knock on that next door and say, hey, I just want to share something with you. God loves you. God wants a relationship with you. When I thought about that yesterday, I was convicted and said, man, I wonder if I'm reaching my purpose, or I wonder if I've lost all purpose. It's not about feeding the needy, even though that's a good thing. It's not about just coming and singing. But when you start looking at church like that purpose, that's why we start losing our purpose as a church. We think, oh, it's here to just sit down. It ain't. It's to go. It's to reach others. How are we doing on that? And secondly, another quick question. How are you doing in teaching others? How are you doing in that area? Did you take time this week as a parent to teach your child, this is what the Word of God says? Did you take time to say, hey, let's just get together as a family and let's just study what God's Word says? Did you take time to maybe pray with somebody at work and teach them the Word of God? I'm just simply asking today, are we reaching our purpose? Are we reaching our purpose? This morning, I want to encourage you. Maybe you're getting bogged down with the things of life, and life gets chaotic, and especially life in 2020. But listen, don't let COVID-19 rob you of your purpose. As a church, let's not let the other things, the peripheral things, take us away from our purpose. Our purpose is to reach and to teach. And this morning, I got this little card. It's a really neat card, and on the way out, those that want one, they're free. They'll be on the back table, and if we run out before you get one, I'll order some, and we'll get some more. But it's a card that says, the truth of salvation. It says, Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again to provide forgiveness and eternal life to a fallen and sinful human race. He is the Savior of all who trust in Him. And on the back, it gives a salvation prayer, and maybe when you're leading someone to the Lord Jesus Christ and you're sharing with him the gospel and they make a decision, you can give them this card. And in fact, it says on the back here, it says, today I have received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And they can write their name and the date. I think that's awesome. And I want to encourage you, as a matter of an invitation this morning, just on your way up, pick one up and just put it somewhere you can see it to remind you, that's my purpose. To reach people, to teach people. Just have it in your wallet, have it in your purse, just to remind you, man, that's what I got to live for today. God, help me to fulfill my purpose because I'm the church. You've given the church to reach and teach, and only the church can do it. That's why it's important to do it. Make a decision today to live your purpose. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for, oh, this unique purpose of life that is the church. Oh, Father, I pray that this morning as we examine our own lives, as we are sincere to the Holy Spirit's leading in our life, I wonder how many of us would say we need to be sincere in that, and I want to be better at living out my purpose. I wonder how many today would just say, God, help me to live my purpose as the church, to not forget what it is that I'm here for. Well, Father, I pray that we would make decisions as a church today to follow you and to reach our purpose. Help us to do it this week. Help us to do that in our neighborhoods. Help us to do that at our workplaces. Help us to do that in our families, and that we might honor and glorify you through living a purpose that you've given us. And I ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.